style and fashion of 2020 has been one interesting topic, right? Is there even trends? Do they even exist now? I feel like this is such a fun topic to dissect a little bit. I invited my friend Tammy Parrish on the show. If you are a subscriber on either of our email lists or signed up for the stay-at-home style guide from the spring summer, then you already know who she is. You already have seen the guide that we've put out, but we are putting out a fall and winter guide. Although fall has passed, 2020 happened. It is still winter. We still have many months in winter. And this episode is for you if you want to know how to up-level your wardrobe and your makeup game in the age of not really wanting to. When we look good, we feel good. And so this episode might be for you if you want to just feel good around the house in what you already probably own. Maybe you can pick up a few extra things. You're in for a real treat. You can grab the guide that accompanies this episode in the show notes, but you can go to nataliesaturet.com/stay-at-home-style and download the fall winter guide. You're going to love it. I hope you love this episode as much as I love recording it. You are listening to the Be Your Own Makeup Artist podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Saturet, former military officer turned professional and award-winning makeup artist and educator and author of the book, Be Your Own Makeup Artist. This podcast is for makeup enthusiasts, makeup artists, and everyone in between. I share insights about the beauty industry, invite industry experts, and try to keep the content more about makeup education and less about buying this or that. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me on. And I know you and I have talked a lot about it's the fall, and we feel like, where did the whole year go? And most of us have cleaned out our entire closets, right? So now we have bare bones. And it would be nice to have some new ways to combine what we already have to feel like we have some new stuff and to make it a little bit more interesting. So what I wanted to talk about is a theme of sort of doing more with less. So without going out and buying a bunch of stuff that we probably don't need, how can we pep up our wardrobe? So one of the things I wanted to talk about, because in the spring, you and I talked about this trend of statement collars. So these were often blouses, sometimes dresses, with these very large, outspoken collars on them. And I've kind of become obsessed with the statement collar, but in a different fashion. Because if you're going to have this blouse, it's a statement. I mean, you're not going to wear that with everything. So I'm not going to go buy a blouse with a big collar, but I would buy just the collar. And a couple weeks ago, when it started getting cold, I thought, I just want something warm. I want something warm. I want to feel like, you know, I'm all cuddly, but for work, I want to keep it businesslike and not wear my big fat sweater around. So I thought, wait a minute. Okay. Combine the statement collar, removable collar. So you can basically just keep wearing your same wardrobe that you've had on in the spring and summer and add underneath a removable, like a turtleneck.
I feel like I had these as a kid. Do you think I did?
Well, yes. And in the U.S., they called them Dickies. Unfortunate name. I have one for outdoors, right? And they make scarves, like a thick kind of winter hand-knit looking collar that's very chunky, which is not very flattering. And I think on all these online calls, it also, yeah, it's just not so flattering, you know, in this limited space that we're in to have this chunky thing. So a thinner model, but still keeps you warm, right? Where do you lose heat in your body? Your head, like if you're cold, cover up your head, cover up your hands and your feet. Like I'm wearing wool socks right now, no shoes. Or cover up your neck. And a scarf, of course you can wear a scarf. You can always wear a scarf. But especially with the silk scarf for indoors, a lot of women feel like that looks old-fashioned or kind of stuffy or maybe a bit arrogant. And of course, it depends on how you wear it. But I like this removable collar idea. So, you know, just, it's basically just, this is a shirt, but it would just be from here, like this part remains and there's nothing else. So what do? You stick it under a jacket. Like if I were to button this up, I could have a fake collar under here, or put it under your t-shirt or your sweatshirt even.
Do the shirts that you're wearing these collars, do they need to be crew neck?
It depends on the collar. Because some of them I've seen with these turtlenecks. I was investigating turtlenecks the other day. And oh, I should give you that link too to pop in there. It'll be in our guide. But some of these turtlenecks also, if you cover the, it's like with a scarf, right? An outdoor scarf, you wrap it around your neck and then you put it in the front to keep your chest warm. And some of these fake turtlenecks, as I call them, have a long, like a bib in the front. So then you could wear it more with a V-neck. Some of them that are shorter, you know, you can't go as deep with the neckline. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a crew. It can be a lower scoop with most of them. And then, you know, not too wide, obviously, because most of them don't go out as wide. But some of them do also. And I love the website Etsy.com, because it's a lot of local craftspeople. And it's not just the U.S. anymore. It's really worldwide. So you can filter by your country or your continent and figure out where you want to shop from and support local artisans. Yeah.
Right. That's awesome. One of the things, because a lot of the people that are tuning in are probably listening. So I want to make sure everybody knows that I'm going to post a video with some of the examples of what Tammy is showing for those of you who can't see. But a question that I had was, when I think of turtlenecks, and you know, when I was young, I would wear them and they felt a bit suffocating. And then you go through a stage when they're really cool. And then I'm in the stage where I feel like I look literally like a turtle when I wear a turtleneck. I know it's not a removable collar, but if I were to, say, be shopping for a removable collar turtleneck, which would save a ton of money because then you don't have to buy the sweater. You would just buy the little turtleneck part. How do you know what type of turtleneck is right for you? Or is it kind of a turtleneck is a turtleneck? Like, it doesn't matter. They're all kind of the same.
Well, the first thing you want to think about is what it's made out of, because I'm quite sensitive. My skin is sensitive. So first you need to figure out, does it need to be acrylic or wool? And if it's wool, what kind of wool can you handle? Because the worst thing on earth is having the scratchy turtleneck. To want to climb out of it or rip it off. So the fiber content is really important. So that's the first thing to think about. And also the thickness. If you have a thick neck, you probably don't want to accentuate that as much. So a thicker neck, you need a thinner fabric. So you don't make your neck even thicker, let's say. So the thickness and also the height. If you don't have much of a neck, I would not suggest wearing a turtleneck. If you have a shorter neck, you want more of a V-neck to draw your eye up and down and make your neck appear longer.
Okay.
So what you can do with the turtleneck, of course, is you can adjust it. You can wear it kind of like a scrunchie. So you can have it scrunched up and scrunch it up or down, or you can fold it out or in even to make it shorter. And just try it out in the mirror and see what it looks like.
Okay. But so turtlenecks can be worn by everybody, but if you have a shorter neck, you would want to pair it with a V-neck, right? I want to make sure I understand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the V-neck, then also a trick. I shouldn't say if you have a short neck, you should do this, because maybe you like your short neck, but if you want your neck to appear longer and you have a cold neck, so you wear a turtleneck, a way to visually extend and lengthen your neck would be to wear a V-neck top over that and make it in a contrasting color so that that really draws, it stands out and it draws your eye up and down. If you just wear a black turtleneck under a black V-neck top, the V isn't going to stand out so much.
Right. And I know we can have our own episode. I'm having Terry Tomlinson on the show in January. She is the creator of the Flesh Tone Color Wheel. She does color theory and makeup. I can't wait. It's going to be such a treat for all the listeners. But I feel like as a makeup artist, I've always been in tune with color for the face, but it wasn't until you started teaching me about the colors that we're wearing. And so something that you said, I think last time I was in Amsterdam, you were saying that the color that's closest to your face needs to be in your season and your color. So is there something that our listeners and anybody watching, is there something that you could help them to know what their colors are or their season? Because I have become borderline obsessed with my season, and I will only buy or repurchase or find things in my closet that are in the little color fan that you gave me. But maybe not everybody has access to that. Is there any quick tips on the color turtleneck and maybe just a very general advice for that?
No, there's no quick answer, but the most important thing is to figure out if you look better in cool or warm colors, right? And what matters is what's next to your face, because that's reflecting off of that garment near your face and onto your face. So basically, if you have a cool undertone to your skin, you have more of a pinkish tinge. Mm-hmm. And warm, I describe as more of an orange. Mm-hmm. So one way to think about it is, if you get in the sun a lot in the summer, does your skin get darker? Does it turn brown, more brown, browner, or does it turn red? And that's an oversimplified way to tell. But then there's also the cool is silver and warm is gold. So which looks better on you? Because a lot of people love to wear black because we all think it makes us look thinner. But black is super harsh, especially next to your face. So that's tricky.
You can do black pants, but not a black
shirt. Exactly. Not a shirt.
We will make sure to post and send all the links, and Tammy will probably put some resource together, and you can book a consultation with you if you want to know your season and you want a professional eye, because I swear it's really changed at least the way I even dress myself. And you can always learn new things. Okay, anyways, so we talked about the statement collar. I'm also thinking of the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her collars. And I know we talked about the turtlenecks, but can we talk just a really quick second on the lace collars and how to wear those? Is that still in? I know it was in our spring guide, but is that something that we're moving forward with?
Well, Ruth passing has created this lingering trend of the removable collar, which I think of the warm version, but I also, in this resource that I'll share with the listeners, there are some options of the more decorative types of removable collars, which are definitely still in. And the easiest way to pair it is over a solid color. So you have that contrast. And so the design, if it's lace, and the design and the collar stands out. If you want it to be more subtle, you could put it over a print. That would give it a different look, a more hip look, I would say. Sure. But yeah, you could just throw it over a plain sweater, or even, like I said, for these Zoom calls, you know, for being online, you could just put it over a sweatshirt or a t-shirt. No one will know.
Love it. I love it. Those are good. And I'm excited because they don't cost a fortune. And like you said, you can get them from your homemade makers on Etsy, or your craft fairs. I'm sure a lot of them are virtual. I never knew about the materials. I always immediately, when I want to buy a sweater, go to wool, but I never thought about the fact that maybe a thinner material or a thinner type of wool or even an acrylic gasp would be more flattering. But that really makes sense. So I guess I could talk about a quick trend. You know, with fall, I was looking at all of the trends and all of the magazines, and a lot of it is the same stuff that we've seen. If we've been alive for 20 years, we've already seen. I pulled out a little bit of Natalie's version. And the first one that I'm going to talk about is skin prep and skincare. So this is something that never goes out of style. This should not be a trend. But I think we think of makeup as makeup and skincare is something else. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you're transitioning from, you know, winter to summer. And in the Northern Hemisphere, vice versa, right? So either way, our skin is going to change because the seasons are changing. So for most of us, we're in the Northern Hemisphere. It's going to be dry. Our skin is going to suck in the moisture a lot more than normal than in the summer. And so this is where skin care is numero uno, especially if we are out and about and having to wear a mask. We have to take care of our skin, period. I say it's a trend, but it's really not a trend. I'm a big fan of Sonia Rosselli's skincare line. It's a line that I use in my professional work. The reason I like it so much is that I can use it on all skin types. There's a couple other products that I also use, but I want to talk first about cleansing, briefly on cleansing, on oil and moisturizer, right? So a lot of people think that if they have oily skin, they don't need to put oil, that face oils are not for them, and they try to get all the oils off. Doing that in the winter is probably going to lead to really irritated skin. I'm not an esthetician, but this is what my experience has shown me, is that people try to wash their oil off and get a nice squeaky clean with the foaming cleanser or the ones with the little beads, and they wash off their skin to the point where it's squeaky clean, and then they put like an oil-free moisturizer on it. So that's, you know, not good. You want your skin to stay pretty neutral. The acidity in your skin, again, this is something that you can Google and learn more about, but you need to make sure that if you have dry skin, that you are using these face oils, right? You need to make sure that you're getting the nourishment your face needs, especially if you're in a harsh climate. And so if you're only using a moisturizer, this is the time to add a good face oil. And there's so many good ones out there. I love the Sonia Rosselli line. The other product I like to recommend to people is Sonia Rosselli's Sex Appeal. There are lots of chemical exfoliants out on the market. You can buy an exfoliator anywhere. There's lots of good ones. But the one I love the most, and the reason I recommend it, is because it can be used on everyone. Every single person, regardless of skin type, needs to exfoliate, especially in the winter because it's so dry. No makeup will look good if you're not actually taking care of your skin. And moving into the winter and wearing masks, if you're not upping your skin care game, then when you go to put on makeup, it can apply splotchy or patchy, or you could prep your skin for makeup. So let's say you haven't been taking care of your skin the whole week, and then, oh, I need to wear makeup today, and then you just put on your product. You could still put on your foundation and find patches of dry skin, because one instant application isn't necessarily going to fix it. So by maintaining that, you'll always have a really easy skin prep. And all skin prep is preparing your skin for the makeup. So if you're going to be wearing makeup, which a lot of people aren't, but if you are, I feel like it's picking up. I think we've all gone through this phase of not wearing makeup, because it's been 2020 and we haven't needed to. But now we're like, we need this pick me up. I'm going to go buy another lipstick. I want to feel good. I'm going to get a blush. I'll talk about blushes in a second. But anyways, I cannot emphasize skincare enough. Get a good chapstick and wear that religiously before bed. Do little lip scrubs. Take care of your lips. You will thank me in 30 years. As our lips shrink and we lose the color and the pigment in our lips, I know it happens to us all. But what you do today will slow down the whole aging process. So I want everybody to look deep and hard into what they're doing on a daily basis to take care of their skin. And if your face is still feeling dull, add that moisturizer. If you have oily skin and you're washing it all the way, stop. And let's move over to oil cleansers and gel cleansers and stay away from the foaming cleansers. And that's kind of for everyone.
I think also, because you've really straightened out my skincare regime, I'm embarrassed to talk about what it was. But anyway, what I have had to learn also, because you've got multiple steps, is to allow the time. You can't just wash your face and slap on the makeup. Like, it's the washing, and then each step, I've got to wait and like let it sink in, let it soak into my skin. I mean, so yeah. Allowing myself the time. And I've actually turned, because you gave the suggestion, make it a ritual. my exciting Friday night now is I get to exfoliate. Right. And I look forward to it. I'm like, oh, getting the bathtub and taking the time. And also just during the week, washing and then the vitamin C. And I'm doing these different layers of to stop. Don't slap it all on at once.
Right, right. And I think that skincare can be super overwhelming because you see serums and eye creams and then eye serums and then retinoids. And then you see all of these things. And it's fine if you're already have a really well and established skincare, but to just buy products that you don't really know how to use and you haven't set out that time, those products are probably just going to expire and you might be using them past their expiration date. Don't quote me, but 1 year normally after you open it is for liquids and cream products. You got to toss it. The efficacy of skincare products and whatnot, they just go downhill. Am I perfect about it? No. I definitely have things that are over a year old, but I'm really mindful of that. Make your skincare self-care. And if you think about it that way, then we're not going to have any issues, I don't think. There's plenty of resources. If you don't know your skin type, I have a free skin type guide. I'll link it in the show notes. And there's lots of really good books that I also can recommend if you really want to geek out on skincare. So let's move on to your next, I don't want to say trend, but
tip. Yeah. You know, it's a fact, according to all the fashion glossies, that belts are making a comeback. And I feel like it's a good time for belts to come back because personally, I'll just say during the pandemic, I've been home a lot, obviously, and my tendency is to spend a lot of time standing in front of the refrigerator. So literally, forget about fashion, but a belt is just practical because if I feel like my waist is under control, right, I know where my waist is because a belt is around it. It doesn't mean it has to be tight, but it's this consciousness of the fact that you have a waist and the size that it is. So it's a subconscious reminder. It's like if you wear yoga pants all the time that just stretch endlessly, it's more difficult to keep the eating under control. I'm speaking for myself. So also, if you have a waist, it's nice to accentuate it. And it's a super fun accessory. It's not expensive. You can play around a lot with it. Different colors, textures. And width is something to think about. So when you're choosing the width of a belt, think about your frame, the frame of your body. If you have a large frame and you're tall or broad, then you can get away with a wider belt. But if you're more petite, if you're shorter, or if you have a small frame, narrow shoulders, etc., then think about a smaller width of a belt because a large belt on a small person will overwhelm. And the other way around, if you're a large person and you wear a tiny belt, it looks a little bit comical, looks out of proportion.
I am so sorry to interrupt. I just have to take a brief second to let you know that this episode is being sponsored by none other than our very own stay-at-home style guide for the fall and winter 2020 and 2021. You can go grab the guide at nataliesetchfrey.com/stay-at-home-style and see all the visual examples of what we're talking about and also connect with us and get all of our information. You can get that again at nataliesetchfrey.com/stay-at-home-style or in the show notes. Okay, back to the show.
So I'm 5'8", and you know my body type. And anybody who knows me does. I'm not going to announce how much I weigh, but I'm definitely not petite. So could you, for reference for our listeners, and you're petite. I would say you're petite. So could you kind of say in inches?
Yeah. And another thing that's important to think about is you don't need belt loops to wear a belt. But I say if you have belt loops on your pants or skirt or a dress, if the belt loops are there, you need to wear a belt. And it doesn't need to be a leather embossed formal belt. It can be a scarf. It can be a ribbon. It can be all kinds of things that you use as a belt, but the belt loops are there for a reason. And if you don't wear something through those belt loops, it looks like you didn't finish getting dressed. But to answer your question, for you, the ideal weight for a belt would be about an inch. And again, it depends where on your body. If you wear jeans that are low rise and you have a inverted triangle where your bottom is bigger than your shoulders, first of all, I would not recommend wearing low rise pants if you have this shape. This is my shape, by the way. But you've got to know that wherever that belt is, the eye is going to be drawn there. So that also affects the width.
Okay. That is really interesting. Now, can we talk about the size of the buckle? Because I like these, I don't want to use the Gucci one, right? But this is the Gucci one, and they have these embellished, these really pretty ornamented buckles, and it's really hard to shop for a belt because you're like, oh no, what buckle should I get? Is there a shape that is good too? I mean, there's so many things to think of that I've never thought about. And so is there kind of an easy answer, or is this just a personal preference?
The buckle is really going to attract attention. So if you have a nice waist that you like to show off, then go crazy with the buckle, I say. But again, the bigger the buckle, the more attention it's going to draw. And I think if it's a really decorative buckle, then it's probably not something that's going to go with a lot of different looks. So if you want something more versatile, I would keep the buckle more on the plain side.
Okay.
And scarves are an easy way because you can tie the scarves in different ways and then you don't have the buckle issue. Or ribbons, or yeah, you could use a necklace in some cases, like a long beaded necklace, get creative. But yeah, I mean, a bling bling buckle is really going to draw attention.
Which is probably why I never wear my belts. I'm not a huge belt person, but you've enlightened me. And I think of all of the times in my entire life that I've not worn a belt through pants that have loops. And I'm shaking my hand to my face. I've made fashion faux pas.
No, and when I say it, I should do a caveat there because I've rediscovered belts recently. Even though my waist is disappearing, I've thought, oh, a belt has a purpose again. But if you have a clingy shirt, right, knit tops that are stretchy are really in. And if you are wearing that knit top over, if it's covering the top of your pants, then it is a good idea to not wear a belt. Otherwise, you're going to have this lump, right? So it is dependent on how you're wearing your top. If you're tucking your shirt in or you're going to lift your arms up and your belt is going to show, then I would wear a belt. Cool. But if it's covered up, if the belt loops are covered, don't do it for a nice, sleek look.
Okay, that's perfect. Moving on, let's talk about something a little lighthearted. The skincare, I felt like it was a diatribe, like take care of your skin. Now we're going to talk about blush, because blush, first of all, again, it's a trend right now, but it's also something that should be part of our everyday makeup, especially if we are wearing foundation or anything that is evening out the skin color on our face. Blush is having a moment, and specifically warm color blushes, which if you're a makeup artist, you probably only ever apply warm color blushes on your paying clients. Unless you're doing editorial work, and then you might be playing around with some cool blushes. The thing is with blush is that it adds that life back into our face. And also for women, it was back in the day, in the old days, a sign of fertility and youthfulness. And it just added that little pop of color and innocence. And so when I have, especially my mature clients, I never skip the blush ever. And it's always a nice warm blush. And the thing about blushes is you can have so much fun with them. And a lot of times when you find the color that you like, you can sweep that onto your eyelids too. And that adds just such a nice, it's so easy. with a coat of mascara and a little bit of blush, you're good to go. Blush is one of those things that a lot of people are scared of, but they shouldn't be.
What about like a cream versus a powder?
Okay, I am team cream for the win. I love cream blushes so much. They blend in so nicely into the skin and they look natural. And if you mess up, you can blend and buff it out with your foundation or even just with a brush. But what I like to do with a powder blush is to kind of set my cream blush with a powder, a similar color, to intensify it and kind of give it a little pop, you know, with the noise pop. I like to use my powder blushes when, let's say I'm having a quick Zoom call, right? And I don't feel like going through the whole process, then I'll just use my powder blush. Pop, pop, there we go. But if I know I want my look to last the whole day and it's going to be grueling, I'll 100% put a cream blush under and then lightly set it. But sometimes you can just use a cream blush and just call it a day. Senna Cosmetics, Eugenia Weston, also a guest on the show, her cream blush is, in my opinion, probably one of the best in the industry. It is just the beautiful texture, easy to use. It's a pro line, so you know it's going to work. And it's also shop small, shop local, when if all possible. But this is like kind of a cream to powder, but it blends really nice before it sets in on its own. So team cream for the win. So did you want to share another style tip for 2020?
Sweater dressing is the last trend I want to talk about. I chose to talk about this one because I feel like a lot of us were already wearing our sweaters, our sweat clothes at home. You know, why did we stop wearing our work clothes when we're working from home? And it boils down to comfort. And I think more than physical comfort, it's this emotional need for comfort. It's this sort of clinging, like we're looking for something familiar and we want to be, I can only think of the Dutch word, troosten. You want to be soothed and calmed. So we've been wearing these stretchy, right, knit fabrics. You think of a sweater, a knit sweater, and sweater dressing is big. And you can think of a sweater dress. And I dare say that some of the sweaters people have been wearing at home to work from home, sort of what I call these sloppy cardigans, right, that you just throw over everything. And especially for women who are self-conscious about their bodies, they often put these things on because they think, oh, no one can see me now. I'm hidden. When actually you look bigger. We've talked about this before. You look bigger in this big piece of fabric. What you can do now is take that same cardigan and put it on and put a belt on with it. And you're essentially making a sort of a sweater dress out of it. So you're showing off your figure. You're pulling that bigger garment closer to your body, which is actually making you look thinner. Or if you're really handy and you want, you could just sew the front seam shut. So if it's that cardigan sweater, just either if it doesn't have buttons, then just sew the front shut. And you can even do it with a hand and by hand and wear it sometimes open and sometimes closed. But sweater dresses, I feel like that's a very particular item that many women probably don't have in their closets anymore. So you could go buy a sweater dress. It's comfortable. It feels nice when you're working from home. Or you can just convert a sweater you already have into a more dress-like garment.
I am thinking of all the cardigans that I have that don't have buttons, and I would have to take it to the tailor because there's no way I'd be able to do that. And I'm trying to imagine how it would look, and I think it would look really cool.
Another thing, I'm going to have to show it on a video. It's a bit too complicated to explain, but you could also take that same cardigan, long cardigan, and you can just by making two small openings in the side seams at the waist, you can thread a belt through the back half and have the front parts of the cardigan free, and that belt fastens around your waist. So you're pulling the back of the sweater in next to your body, but the front is still loose, which adds some dimension to it. And the belt is fastened around your waist, so you're still accentuating your waist, and it just looks a little different. And
nobody would notice the holes if you decided not.
No, they definitely wouldn't. And you can do it yourself on the sides. And you can also, again, sew it shut again. You're not cutting anything. You're just removing some of the stitches on each side.
That is wild. Those are good tips. I need to go belt shopping. I don't need to go makeup shopping, even though there's some cool products, lots of products coming out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, who's buying everything? So the last tip, makeup tip slash trend, again, this is not a trend. It's the fall and the winter. And generally speaking, we are attracted to those darker colors, those warmer latte colors, aka the nude lip, which is different depending on the color of your skin. I feel like nude has been marketed to this primarily Caucasian woman, and that's what they call a nude lip. But nude is always a little bit different. And so I like browns on the lip, and I think everyone can wear a brown. There's cool browns and there's warm browns, just like you were talking about. Again, I like the warm blushes. I like the warm browns. These look good. When you put a cool color on your lip or your cheek, the best example, and it's so morbid, but it's the only way I can actually get the visual. When we die and our bodies turn cold, we lose the color in our face. And what happens to our lips? They turn like a blue purple. Now, when you are really experienced with your colors and your makeup and you are a statement maker, you can totally pull off like cool lips and cool cheeks, and you normally know how to balance it out. But when you go to the store and you see a brand new brown lipstick, you know, look at it, and does it run more red and orange and yellow, or do you see more blue and purple and pink in it? Now, purple is one of those colors that goes both ways, because purple can be warm and it can be cool at the same time. And we can get way too deep into color theory. So I just want you to look at your browns, find your brown. Never wear a nude color that matches your face color, because your lips will sink in and fall flat. And I see a lot of young people do this, right? They do this gorgeous makeup and then they just kind of put a nude to them lipstick and then it's just flat. I see it a lot more in person. I don't see as many, you know, YouTubers and Instagrammers. They know better because they're under intense lighting. They see that it doesn't look so flattering. And with lipstick, it's definitely one of these things that you're going to have to experiment and play with, and you'll probably buy the wrong lipstick, and you can probably find a friend you can gift it to, or a daughter or a son or whoever. Right now, if you're watching the video, you can see I have a very nude color lip on, and I used a pretty light color lip liner, right? There's not a huge contrast between the lipstick and the color of my skin. But I went in with this pretty burnt red. I don't want the bold lip, I want a nude lip. And so I took the nude, and then I actually mixed the colors in so it wouldn't be super red. If you ever see me wearing lipstick, I'm never wearing just one color. And I've been a really huge fan of just lining my lips and either using my brush or my ring finger to blend the lip liner all over. It's nice and matte, so it's not going to be super glossy. Of course, if you do this with unexfoliated lips or really dry lips, it's not going to look flattering. but I don't like those lip paints because they are extremely drying and damaging. And thank God that trend seems to be on the way out. But some people really like that matte look, and I appreciate it, but I still like a little bit of shine, especially in the center of the lip. So I always make sure to highlight my Cupid's bow, which is the little divot in the very middle. And you can always make one if you don't have one, but you don't need it whatsoever if you don't have one, don't worry. And right underneath that on the bottom of the lip. And the one tip with lipstick or lip liner that I have learned recently has been to focus on the upper lip. Like if you're gonna overline, which is going a little bit above your lip line, and if you're getting older and you feel like your lips are disappearing, you're not crazy. They kind of are, but not because they really are. It's because our lips don't have any melanin in them. So they just kind of start fading into the background, which is why you see always older women have their lipstick. They always have their lipstick on. But anyways, focus on, you know, plumping up that top lip. Just stay within the lip line of the bottom lip. But really, if you're going to overline or plump it up, you do that on the top lip so it doesn't drag down. We always, strokes matter. I say that so many times, strokes matter. But get a brown. It doesn't matter what shade. You could be a deep, deep brown. You could be a light brown. You could be like olive brown. It depends on your skin tone. There's no cookie cutter answer. Find a brown that you like. And if you really don't know, buy a few tubes. I guarantee if you mix them, you'll find the perfect color. And another thing is with lipsticks, you can also use those. If you get the warm one, you can use it as a little blush. It'll turn into a cream blush instantly. It'll create a beautiful monochromatic look. If you're in a pinch, it's perfect. I'm not saying, you know, to go out and do this if you have a blush, but in a pinch, sometimes all you have in the car is your lipstick. And so you can take that and really blend it in to your cheeks. And I swear you'll be much more put together, or you'll feel that way. I know I have an emergency lipstick in my car that I feel like I only ever use for that reason, because I don't want to carry a cream blush or a powder blush. And, you know, I don't have time to have a cosmetic case in my bag, which is odd considering I'm a makeup artist, but I'm always around makeup. So I think my personal space needs to just a book and my wallet and snacks.
And one lipstick.
I actually use like a tinted chapstick because it's so versatile. It's chapstick and it's got color in it.
And a blush.
It's like a 3-for-1. It's not about consuming. It's about being smart with what you have. Well, is there any remaining thoughts, Tammy?
Think of creative ways to extend the life of clothing and accessories you already have. So try and look at it with a fresh eye and make what might feel like strange combinations. Rather than go buy something new, I think this is the time that we all want to try and get more out of what we already have.
Right. And if we are going to buy, let's be smart consumers. Let's be empowered consumers. And let's try to support our small local businesses as much as possible. And let's not forget to splurge every once in a while when we know that this is going to be something that we're going to love and use for a really long time.
That's the most sustainable, right? Is buying something that's going to last. It's high quality. It's good for your body. It's good for your mind. It's going to last a long time. So the best thing you can buy is something that you're not going to have to replace quickly.
Right. And think about the makeup expiration dates. Are you going to use that makeup within a year? Are you going to use that entire lipstick? If not, if you know you're not going to do it, you probably don't need it. Okay. All the beauty companies are like, no, don't say that. We come out with new things every day. Buy all the things. But really, there is an expiration date. And I will say that products that are older just do not perform well. And I think well-made clothes is the difference between fast fashion and clothes that are made ethically and responsibly. I think there is a big difference. So Anyways, with that being said, I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We do have the 2020 fall stay at home style guide. I've linked the link in the show notes, but you can go to nataliesetrade.com/stay-at-home-style, all one word, enter, and you can download it. It's a little magazine that we've made that's not biased. We're not promoting brands. We're not getting kickbacks from anybody. This is just something that Tammy and I want to put together. We want to give back and give you some tools to feel your best, because we all know when you look good, you feel good, right?
Exactly.
Right. So with that, I hope everybody has a wonderful and safe holiday season. And Tammy, where can everybody find you? Of course, it's all linked, but give everybody a quick rundown on how they can connect with you.
Best place is on my website, and that's clothingcompass.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook with the name Clothing Compass.
I love it. Clothing Compass. That is a wrap for today, and I cannot wait to see you all next time. Stay healthy, and as always, stay beautiful.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it for you. We would love to see all of the ways that you are up-leveling your wardrobe with things that you already own. Let's see those belts. Let's see those removable collars. Let me know your favorite Etsy sellers. Let me know your favorite skincare line. I swear we want to know. We love that kind of feedback. If you love the show, I would love for you to rate it with 5 stars and recommend it to a friend. That's the only way to spread the word. Of course, if you want to keep this podcast sponsor free, that is no commercials, you can go head over to nataliesetrade.com/podcast and you can support the show there. So without further ado, have a wonderful and beautiful day. Stay healthy. And as always, stay beautiful. Until next time.